We'll proceed to the second case of the day, Hutchins v. Clark.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Oyvind Wistrom. I represent the defendant appellants, Milwaukee County, and Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark. We believe the district court erred in this matter in finding a violation of Wisconsin's open records law when Sheriff Clark discussed an employee disciplinary issue involving the plaintiff on a local AM radio station simply because the disciplinary issue that was being discussed was also contained in plaintiff's personnel file. We believe the district court compounded the mistake when it then relied upon that perceived violation of the open records law to also find a violation of Wisconsin's privacy law as well as the First Amendment right to free speech under 42 U.S.C. 1983. We believe a finding by this court that the open records law was not violated would compel a finding and a reversal of the district court's decision as to all three causes of action. First off, with respect to the open records law, we believe there are two separate bases upon which this court should find that the district court erred. First of all, plaintiff failed to properly present a violation of Wisconsin's open records law. The law is clear that a plaintiff may not amend a complaint through an argument in his brief or in opposition to a motion for summary judgment. And that is exactly what happened in this case. The plaintiff made no allegation either in his complaint or his first amended complaint that there was a violation of Wisconsin's open records law. He also conceded in his opening brief to the district court that there had been no request for information pursuant to Wisconsin's open records law. He specifically wrote that nobody sought access to plaintiff's personnel file in the first place, and because there was no request for information, there was nothing to balance, meaning there was no request for information. Therefore, the balancing act, which is contemplated by the open records law, didn't need to be employed. It was only in his final brief before the district court that plaintiff latched on to the open records argument and argued that there was, in fact, a violation of that law. We believe that since plaintiff failed to plead that in his complaint or amend a complaint and only raised it in the reply brief, we believe that it was not properly preserved or presented to the district court. In the alternative, we also believe that the open records law simply did not apply to the facts of this case.
Well, do you agree that if we find that Deputy Hutchins had a right to notice about the release of his disciplinary history, his rights were violated under the Wisconsin open records law? If we make that finding that he had the right to notice, then there was a violation?
He had the right to notice before any records were released. And it's our position.
The question is what your client did was a record or not.
We believe that what he released was merely an oral communication based on information he himself knew.
It was not, had nothing to do with the record.
Nothing to do with the record whatsoever. And because there was no release of a record, the open records law contemplates the release. It has a custodian of documents and the release of information or release of documents. And because there was no release of any records or documents, there was no violation.
So then, under your view, then as long as it's private information is provided orally, it's okay. It's no violation. You can say what's in the record, but you can't release the record, and so that would be okay.
I think generally that is the case. I think there's been a number of cases interpreting the federal privacy law, which were discussed in our briefs. There's also a case by the name of Daniel A. versus Walter H., which dealt with a violation of the Mental Health Act. So none of these cases dealt with the open records law. But what happened in those cases was an individual sat down and reviewed records and then released information based upon their review of the records. And I think that's problematic, where somebody learns the information only because they sit down and review the records and then communicate what they learned from the records. I think that's problematic.
But in the incident case, that was not the fact.
That was not the case. Sheriff Clark had been directly involved in disciplining Deputy Hutchins. There was an issue, an allegation of sexual harassment or inappropriate language in the workplace. The sheriff was involved in that. He was involved in the discipline of Hutchins, and he knew that there was a disciplinary record based on his personal involvement. he didn't learn anything from reviewing or going into the personnel file or going into a public record. And I think that's where the distinction really lies. And in the cases under the privacy law, in the case, the Daniel versus Walter case, the individual went in and actually learned the information from the file, which was not the case here. And the courts, in fact, in the two privacy cases, Bartell and Buckles, specifically indicated that the privacy laws were only violated where the individual gathers or retrieves the information from a protected record. So if the information is gathered from a source other than the protected record, which was the case here.
But if you're participating in preparing the record, then you can do whatever you want to.
If your knowledge of what you're disclosing is based upon your personal knowledge of the situation, that may include in preparing the document, yes, then I think it's fair game. Absolutely. That does not involve the disclosure or release of a record to implicate the Wisconsin Open Records Law. The whole purpose and intent behind the Open Records Law is to have free and open access to the governmental affairs for governmental business to be transparent.
But and then it would be a violation of the right to privacy law, the Wisconsin right to privacy law.
Well, there are four separate elements to privacy violation.
Right. Public disclosure, check. Facts disclosure, private, check. Private matter made public must be highly offensive, check. The defendant acted either unreasonably or recklessly as to whether there was a legitimate public interest. I mean, I suppose you would quarrel with that element, but certainly the first three are met. You agree with that, right?
Well, I would. I certainly agree with the first element that they were disclosure of facts. There's an issue about whether or not they're private facts. The general rule in Wisconsin is that closed disciplinary records of public employees are not private facts. They're public records, and they're subject to disclosure under the Open Records Law. It's only current investigations of employees that would be protected as private facts. Whether or not the disclosure of a disciplinary infraction would be highly offensive to a reasonable person, I think we would quibble with that as well. And finally, whether the defendant acted reasonably or not, I think the defendant clearly did act reasonable here. He responded to an attack on the radio. Deputy Hutchins is attacking his character and attacking his suitability to be sheriff. And the sheriff went on the radio and responded.
Must be a great sheriff's office. I mean, they're pelting each other from side to side publicly. I mean,
it's unfortunate, but, you know, those are the facts that we have.
Yeah, life is like that.
But where I think the district court erred is the district court clearly found a violation, first of all, of Wisconsin Open Records Law, and then relied upon that finding to then conclude that there was a violation of the privacy law and also that there was a violation of the First Amendment.
So if you were the person involved in the creation of the record because you conducted the investigation, I just want to make sure I understand your position, then it's okay. There's no violation because you physically didn't get the information from the record because, of course, he didn't need to get it from the record because he was there and witnessing everything. But what happened then got all put in the record. But that's okay.
I agree with that, exactly. I think if there's somebody else who has no knowledge of the disciplinary record, let's say there's a media inquiry on an issue, and the person who gets the media inquiry knows absolutely nothing about the case or the situation, and they go into a personnel file or a protected record, and they glean information from it, or they sit down and they read from it. Obviously, I think that's problematic. The courts haven't specifically addressed that situation, but I would concede that that is a problematic situation. But the situation we have where the defendant knew the information based on his personal involvement in preparing the document, his verbal disclosure and discussion of that cannot be a violation of the Open Records Law.
So the sheriff could have any kind of investigation. It could be against, you know, sexual misconduct. It could be, I mean, he could just, as long as he's the one conducting the investigation and he's really familiar with the facts, a report is generated and it's okay. Really, you're just saying any kind of investigation the sheriff makes, report is created. As long as he's, like, firsthand involved in it, it's okay. It's no violation of the act. It's the physical review of the records that creates the violation.
Well, generally.
And gleaning the information. It's like, where did you get the information from? As long as it's firsthand and he didn't read it somewhere, then it's okay.
the courts haven't specifically addressed that situation under the Wisconsin Open Records Law, whether gleaning it from the document and then orally disclosing it would be a violation. I concede for purposes of this argument today that I think that's a problematic situation, not necessarily conceding that it would be a violation, because there's not a single reported case in which an oral disclosure of a record has been found to be a violation of the Open Records Law. The whole purpose of the law involves the custodian and the documents that are being maintained by the governmental entity, and it discusses the release of those documents.
Just to clear up where Judge Williams' hypothetical may be leading, there's a difference between whether the sheriff had participated in the event that he has knowledge of versus authorizing an investigation where he reads it. Mm-hmm. So,
absolutely.
Right. So then we have a situation where the sheriff is an actor here in a record that was created, right?
I think that's a very different situation. If he simply authorizes the investigation and somebody else does it, he likely wouldn't have any knowledge about the outcome or the contents of that record. He's merely...
Unless he looked at the record itself.
Unless he looked at the record himself. And in that situation, I've indicated, I think that might be problematic. But those are not the facts that we have here today. I also want to comment briefly on the First Amendment claim. We believe, first of all, that the release of that information, which under the law would be something that would that the county would be required to produce, would not deter a reasonable person from exercising this speech. It was Deputy Hutchins who engaged in the dialogue in the first place by going on the radio and discussing the issue of the sheriff. The sheriff then responded in turn. We don't believe the contents of the sheriff's disclosure would be sufficient to deter a reasonable person from exercising speech in the first place. Secondly, because the alleged retaliation here involves only the speech of Sheriff Clark, there is no allegation, or at least nothing before this court, where the sheriff took any other action or any other retaliatory acts against the individual. And because Sheriff Clark also has his own First Amendment protections, the law has established, and there was a case out of the Fourth Circuit that discussed in situations where the only adverse action is speech by the alleged person who retaliated, that it only becomes actionable if it involves threat, intimidation, or coercion. And we do not believe that Sheriff Clark's comment on the local radio station that this individual had a disciplinary record would constitute threat, intimidation, or coercion.
So let me go back to this Wisconsin privacy, right to privacy law, and, you know, his statement was, the sheriff's statement dealt with sexual harassment, and there were quite a few radio calls back to the show saying that this was highly inappropriate for the sheriff to be discussing this kind of thing on the radio. So you don't think that would help qualify to meet that other element in the Privacy Act, the right to privacy law?
It certainly could be evidence to support their argument that it would be highly offensive to a reasonable person. I would agree with that. But I think ultimately where the district court erred and where I believe this court needs to correct the district court was the district court's perception or belief that there was a violation of the open records law, and then the district court's reliance upon that finding to support all three causes of action, that it was a private fact, that it was highly offensive to a reasonable person, and that it was uttered by the defendant either unreasonably or recklessly. All three of those elements of the privacy cause of action.
You're in your rebuttal time.
I will reserve. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Winstrom. Mr. McGillis.
Thank you. May it please the court. My name is Christopher J. McGillis, and I represent the plaintiff appellees, the Milwaukee Deputy Sheriff's Association, and Mr. Hutchins. There are four reasons why this court should affirm the district court's decision and order. First, Sheriff Clark's oral disclosure of Mr. Hutchins' discipline records was a violation of Wisconsin's open records law. Secondly, that same disclosure of Mr. Hutchins' discipline records is also a violation of Wisconsin's privacy law. Third, the plaintiff appellees sufficiently pled both an open records as well as a privacy law violation. And fourth, Sheriff Clark's disclosure of Mr. Hutchins' discipline records is actionable retaliation under the First Amendment. I want to focus primarily on this issue of the open records law because I think that is the most important issue for the case. This is an issue of first impression, whether or not an oral disclosure of a record under Wisconsin's open records law is a violation. Almost exclusively, the defendants rely on the definition of a record for their position that an oral disclosure of information that's in a record can't actually be a record under Chapter 19 of Wisconsin's open records law. I think that argument is fundamentally flawed and is not persuasive.
Supposing the person who had alleged their sexual harassment had disclosed the information.
That's not a violation of Wisconsin open records law, and I'll tell you why.
It's in the record. It's part of the record, and she knows it.
First, she's not an authority, so she can't have violated the open records law.
She has to be an authority.
Correct. And secondly, she would have obtained that information directly from Hutchins. I think the way you distinguish that case from Sheriff Clark is what this court has been discussing about. Sheriff Clark obtained his information, one, directly from the record. I'm going to get to that in a second, but directly from a record, and also because he's the sheriff of the deputy sheriff's office. He is involved in every single discipline of a deputy.
Right.
He makes the recommendation to the reviewing board of what the discipline is. It's his call. If you look to document 45-4 on page 6, it's an investigative summary. And this is a record generated from the sheriff's office. And if you turn to page 2 of that document, we have Sheriff Clark's signature. I think it's tough for the defendant to say that Sheriff Clark didn't review the document when his own signature.
No, he said he did. He said he participated in it.
Sure. He participated in the investigation. He signed the document.
That's right. He was there. He was the whole thing. He said that.
Yes.
He wasn't trying to keep anything from you.
Okay. The fact that he received that information from the record.
No, he received the information that created the record.
He both.
Simultaneously. Correct. Together and at the same time.
Yes. I think that case is very analogous to the Bartell case. In that case, the court held that when an agency official obtains information that's in a record as part of his or her record-related role into an employee investigation, that is a record that cannot be disclosed. And that's the exact same scenario that we have here. I mean, the interpretation of a record that the defendants submit to this court would allow for Sheriff Clark to disclose essentially every discipline record because he is involved and he's the individual that commences the investigation and signs off and recommends what the discipline is.
Well, so he would say that there's a difference because he would say if the sheriff was personally engaged in the investigation and then a report was generated, that would be okay. But if the sheriff wasn't personally engaged in the investigation, then that would be a problem.
That's the distinction he's trying to draw. I
would
submit to this court that the sheriff is involved in every single discipline of a deputy sheriff in Milwaukee County. He would have the authority to disregard the comprehensive scheme that's set forth in Wisconsin Statute 19.356, which the Wisconsin legislature and the Wisconsin courts have set up to protect discipline records. Discipline records, unlike other open records in Wisconsin, don't have more protection. You know, certain emails, information that want to be obtained by a citizen don't receive the same protections that discipline records do. There's a reason why the courts and the legislature have established this comprehensive scheme. If we follow the defendant's interpretation, those procedural safeguards are completely eviscerated. They really don't exist because under almost every scenario, Sheriff Clark can get up on a podium, call a radio station live on the air, and read off a document. He would be able to read off a record, and verbatim, word for word. But then on the other hand, if somebody requests that document, he wouldn't be able just to tender the document. I mean, to me, that doesn't make sense. It defies logic. It disregards logic in that the idea of if a rule applies to a physical form of a record, I think logically it has to apply to the oral disclosure of that record.
Otherwise, or the information contained in the record.
Correct,
right?
Exactly. Information contained in the record, which is exactly what we have here. And is that really what we want? I mean, do we want our sheriffs, do we want our police chiefs, do we want our government leaders to be able to contact the local news or to contact the local radio station?
Well, maybe we do.
Is there a difference between disclosing the record that was created by a prior sheriff or investigation or one that happened on your watch, if you're the sheriff, as we have here? In other words, can a sheriff... I suspect you would argue in both cases that it could be...
I guess it depended on how... If the sheriff reviewed the record, if Sheriff Clark reviewed a record from a previous sheriff, a discipline record...
What if the sheriff in this case interviewed the person who's alleged to have been harassed?
And didn't do an investigation?
No, and an investigation followed.
Okay.
But actually had direct communication... So he was the investigator. The sheriff was the investigator, not just the authorizer of an investigation. Does that make a difference?
No, not at all. Because the bigger principle here is that we're talking about public sector employees in Wisconsin, law enforcement officers, and these individuals must participate in the investigation. And as part of that investigation, they're going to interview, and Sheriff Clark may talk to a person. He's always going to have that information. He's always going to, as part of his investigative role, gather information that would put him in a position to trump the procedural safeguards in the statute. I don't think that is what the legislature would want.
Well, is there any evidence in the record as to how, these disciplinary things bubble up? I mean, do people actually come to Sheriff Clark and say, I got a complaint about X, and Clark says, we need to do an investigation. Investigators come to hear him periodically to tell him the status, or is he the type of sheriff where complaint comes into a different department, that department initiates the investigation, and then he ultimately gets it.
All the cases get referred to the Internal Affairs Division of the Sheriff's Office, and they conduct the investigation and hand over records and transcripts and documents and build the case to Sheriff Clark. And Sheriff Clark ultimately makes that call. And that's what he did in this document, in this investigative summary. He sustained sheriff's approval. He made the call to discipline Deputy Hutchins. And
you're saying that if he doesn't personally interview, like, every witness, let's say, the only way he can get the information, he might have something, under Judge Flom's hypothetical, he interviews the victim. But he's not going to sit down and interview everybody else that's involved. So those statements of the other people, he's going to get from a report.
Correct.
That's what you're saying.
Correct.
And then there are other situations where he doesn't conduct any interview of anybody, but he gets his knowledge because he's read the report.
While it's on the record, I will tell you that generally, Sheriff Clark gets his information from the records, from his Internal Affairs Division. I don't know of any case. It's not on the record, but I'll submit this. I don't know of any situation generally where Sheriff Clark is interviewing individuals.
Yeah, so, and in this particular case, in our particular case, how did he get his knowledge? What's in the record on that?
What's in the record is this investigative summary that he signed, which details the exact facts that happened. That he signed and approved on February 10th, 2005. That's the
And so there's nothing in the deposition testimony about what he learned before he got that report?
No, there's absolutely nothing in the record about what he knew before that report. I think if we follow the defendant's interpretation of what a record is, individuals like Deputy Hutchins will have to choose between participating in the internal affairs investigation and risk losing their right to notice and a balancing test under the Wisconsin Open Records Law, or refusing to participate in that investigation and risk potentially losing their job because it's a condition of their employment. And I think that's a situation which no employee should ever have to face and really is irreparable.
And your position would be that the sheriff, at any rate, even if it was okay for him to orally reveal some of this, would have to engage in some kind of balancing test. You know, that doesn't go away, right?
Yes, exactly. The balancing test and the right to notice under 19.35 does not go away just because it would be an oral disclosure.
Supposing there were a forthcoming election, I assume there is going to be a forthcoming election, the sheriff gets elected.
Yes, he does.
Supposing your client, your named client, was running against him, would he still be precluded from disclosing the fact that he had been charged with harassment?
Yes. Would Sheriff Clark be?
Yeah.
Well, he wouldn't be precluded. He would be precluded from orally disclosing it until he
filed the
scheme. He did the balance, and I should maybe have said that because it's important. He can release it. He just has to do the correct procedure, follow the statute.
So if he's talking about somebody who's attacking him in a political election, he can then disclose it.
I would say no, that he cannot disclose that. But
yes or no?
The answer is no.
Yes, but no.
He certainly, I would say no, cannot disclose that information.
So he has to stand there and watch the other guy bombard him for being a weak sheriff. You can't say I wasn't too much of a weak sheriff.
No. What I would suggest that Sheriff Clark do is he give Deputy Hutchins notice. He conduct the balancing test and do the proper procedure. And if it's granted, great. He can release it all he wants. But we have to remember that Sheriff Clark, being the sheriff, being the one that recommends discipline, I mean, he's got a role that not a lot of people are in. I mean, it's a trusted position. There's a reason why, out of all the open records in Wisconsin, discipline records receive a very protected basis on release. And the Wisconsin courts and the legislature have made it clear. It's because there's confidential, embarrassing, privileged information. Like I was saying, an email.
So let me just make sure, because I want to make sure I'm understanding too. So he's running for election. He knows this is damaging information. He gives notice to Hutchinson that he wants to release this. He follows all the steps. He balances it, and he can release it.
Yes.
And it's ultimately his decision.
Yes.
Right. But he has to, it's the issue is the notice and the balancing. So you're not saying that he couldn't balance everything given the allegations that Hutchinson would have made against him. Let's say the allegation was that he didn't enforce, that he allowed sexual harassment to go on in the department. And they're running against each other. And the sheriff knows that there was this discipline issue on, in this, our very case, is sexual harassment. So he could give him notice, say, you know, I'm giving you notice. Follow the steps, and then it would be released. He could release it.
Definitely. If it's not challenged by Deputy Hutchins.
Well, what if it is challenged?
Then it's left to the circuit. Then ultimately it would be left to the circuit court, potentially the appellate courts in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. But if
it becomes a matter of he has to test it by doing it and then get nailed, or he has permission from the court to release it.
It would be Deputy Hutchins' ability to file commence an action or writ in circuit court. And
stop it.
It's to stop it, exactly. In this case, Your Honor is hitting it on the nail right on the head. It's the idea that this was orally disclosed, and
those records in the circuit court would be privileged, too. They would be sealed?
If the writ was granted?
No. He filed a petition for a writ. Does he have to set forth what he wants the writ to prevent?
Well, it would be responding to, if Sheriff Clark said, I want to release...
Yes.
You know, this investigative summary. The response would be is, no, you can't release this. And, yes, then whatever happened in circuit court, that information wouldn't be accessible to the public.
That sounds terribly awkward to me. In order to find out who could do what in a campaign, you have to turn to the circuit court of Milwaukee County.
Well, when it comes to an employee discipline record.
Oh,
would the position of the Deputies Association, Mr. McGillis,
yes,
be that the sheriff couldn't balance it fairly because he's...
Well, yes, potentially, but I mean...
yeah.
How about yes, likely?
Yes, likely.
Yeah.
So the issue, I mean, the really loss, and this goes to this irreparable harm that under the Privacy Act and under the First Amendment...
But let me just stop you for a minute. Sure. So in this writ, though, that is filed, because it would be the deputy who would file the writ, right? So he would get notice that the sheriff's going to release it, but that wouldn't be disclosed to the world. That would be a direct communication to him. So then he files his writ, and he just asks for a protective order in terms of his record. He says relating to discipline, record number XXXY, and makes a petition to the court not to reveal the contents.
Correct. We want a release. And my time is up. I guess I just would like some time to briefly conclude and stress that the issue here is the oral disclosure and the loss of Deputy Hutchins of the balancing test that Sheriff Clark was required to do, and the notice of forever being able to challenge Sheriff Clark's release. That is the harm. That's greater than the actual oral disclosure itself. It's the fact he lost his right under the statute to commence an action. So I thank you, and in conclusion, we ask that this court affirm the district court. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gillis. Mr. Wistrom.
The effect of the district court's ruling wouldn't only apply in election situations. It would apply every time a governmental official is asked for information about an issue which happens to also be contained in a document which is contained within that that governmental's office. For instance,
you don't think there's any special protection for disciplinary records, as counsel pointed out?
There is. I think it's contained in 1932. There's a list of 10 or 12 different types of documents that have specific protection. One of them is an existing disciplinary investigation involving an employee. Once that investigation is completed, there is no special protection for personnel records.
But there is a process to get it released, correct?
The disclosure of documents involves the balancing, first of all, of the official. If the official determines that the...
But the employee gets notice first.
Yeah. If it should be disclosed and the information is about an individual, then that individual gets notice. The individual has an opportunity 5 days to notify the municipality that I'm going to object to it, then another 5 days to go into circuit court. And if the circuit court, well, whatever happens during the circuit court and the Court of Appeals review, the document cannot be reviewed.
So this is for, this would be the process for disciplinary records when the disciplinary action has been concluded.
Correct. If it's not concluded, then it should not be disclosed. But what would happen in any situation which a governmental official is asked for information about an issue, they would be precluded from speaking about it to the media. You know, envision a situation where a deputy shoots somebody and the media is clamoring for information about what happened. The official, under the district court's interpretation, wouldn't be able to make any kind of disclosure or oral communications about what happened simply because there's either an investigation or a personnel document relating to that information. Oral disclosures in this kind of situation cannot be protected by the open records law because the individuals and governments have to have the ability to communicate about governmental affairs.
So then on that scenario where there's a shooting, then you're saying the sheriff can just say, look, this was a matter of self-defense. The officer was fired upon several times. He could just essentially give a blow-by-blow to the media as to how the investigation is going. And you're saying that's okay?
I think the sheriff has the discretion whether or not to do that. If he has personal knowledge based upon his involvement in the matter, he has a right to communicate to the media or to others about what he personally knows.
So if he found out, for example, the cop had a, that second weapon that, on his ankle that was unregistered, wasn't part of his, wasn't his official, his drop gun, yeah. So if he disclosed on the if he said in the interview, look, we found him and he had his drop gun on him, that would be okay to reveal that because that's something he learned in the investigation. He could just reveal that. That and, there are allegations that he has a drug problem. It would be fine to just say all that to the media.
As long as he knows that information based on his involvement, it does not violate Wisconsin's open records law to disclose that information.
If we have a charge of excessive force, and to take the media situation a little bit further, and the question is asked to this officer who's been charged with excessive shooting where it was unnecessary, let's say. That's the media inquiry, because that's the claim of maybe the family of the person who was shot. Could the sheriff say, if asked, does this officer have a prior was there a prior investigation about whether this officer ever used excessive force in the past? And the sheriff is aware of it because it's in the records under his tenure or perhaps the tenure of a prior sheriff.
If he knows about it without having to go back to the records to review it, I think the law is very clear that he can disclose that. Milwaukee County has, I think, over 600 deputy sheriffs. It's a large department with a lot of officers. to imagine that Sheriff Clark knows the personnel records of each individual or the disciplinary history of each of his 600-plus deputies is absurd.
Yeah, but
there's certain cases that he does have knowledge of.
Right. Well, certainly the scenario Judge Flom mentioned, he'd go and look at that record. He'd know what's going on. In that case, if the victim's family had alleged excessive force, he'd certainly know about that.
Well, and I think if he goes back and the only way he knows that there was a prior incident of excessive force was because he went into the records, now we're dealing with a different situation where he's gleaning the information based on his review of the records. Those facts aren't before this court. So I see that my time is up.
So if he knows about it, though, because one of his deputies that reports to him tells him, oh, there was a disciplinary action against him, an excessive force. There was a finding that he engaged in excessive force, and this deputy told him that. Then he could say that. He could go to the media because he hadn't put his eyeballs on the report. But he can listen to hearsay from another deputy, and that's okay.
Whether it's okay or smart to
do that, but he could do it.
It wouldn't violate the open records law.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Weston. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement. Court will proceed to the third.